thousands of rushes of water, a magic place to learn, sources, and magic worlds are all things pure and nerd.
Welcome to the second episode of Black Girls Love Horror 2, a magical place where melanin prospers in the magical world and love of all things horror and nerd. The title of the episode is Krampus, and I will definitely get into what the meaning of Krampus actually means towards the end of our show. So horror film of the day is going to be Krampus, because I feel like it was a Krampus themed podcast. So our podcast, it is a Krampus themed podcast episode. So I feel like, you know, hey, makes sense. Goes hand in hand, right? Easy pickings. And I actually really, really like this film. So any horror film of the day that I pick is because I actually didn't really fuck with that movie. Like, I really like that movie. So I picked Krampus because obviously it's relative to the podcast title, Krampus. And it is not like C-R-A-M-P-U-S. I put a little twist to it, and I was like, right now, I am Krampus-ed off right now. I will get into where I came from that inspiration a little bit towards the end of our episode. But yeah, you know, you get a little taste right there. I was actually really surprised by this film. So to my surprise, the director of Krampus is the director of Trick or Treat. And that is Michael Dougherty. When I first watched it, who the director was, and then when I found out it was the same director of Trick or Treat, I was like, no wonder I liked it. Because I really loved the movie Trick or Treat. Who doesn't love Sam? I think Sam is so adorable in his creepy, fucked up, twisted way. But Sam is so cute to me. Like, he's got a big ass pumpkin head, but he's cute though. Like, he is. He's. I'm sweet on Sam. I really am. Krampus starts off with the beginning of basically the chaos of what Black Friday brings to the stores. And if you guys have worked in retail, you guys know what that chaos can be about. Like, I never understood why there was so much chaos on Black Friday, especially after we all just gave thanks. Santa would not be happy with that behavior, and Krampus wouldn't be either. So all of y'all in these Black Friday shops going crazy and going ham, all y'all would have been kidnapped in Krampus's bag of goodies. Krampus and Sam have that in common. Krampus and Sam from Trick or Treat, they like grab up people in their bags. And then Krampus also grabs the people in his bag too, just like Sam. In the film, the main character, Max, he's a little boy, and he's pretty much the one who gets Krampus to come and kind of take over his town and kind of ruin Christmas. Max's mother's side of the family ends up coming over to visit them, you know, as family does for Christmas, normal, right? Family will come over to visit for Christmas usually. Well, everybody has their annoying cousins, and they got annoying in-laws, annoying aunties come over to visit Max and his mom and his dad and family. These people pretty much don't like each other. They love each other, as you could kind of see throughout the film. Like, of course, family's family. Like, they do love each other, but they are definitely annoyed by each other's presence. For the most part, it's like, if it wasn't for Christmas, they would not be over there, right? During Christmas Eve dinner, they all end up sitting down and, you know, getting ready to enjoy dinner together. There's two female cousins that are related to Max who end up somehow getting a hold of Max's Christmas letter to Santa, which is a personal thing. You know, a letter is always a very personal thing. So these two cousins end up reading Max's letter out loud. And it causes Max to get very upset and angry. And, you know, he basically wishes that his family and the Christmas holidays could be the same as they were before when they were all little and, you know, everybody got along with each other. And he gets very upset and he just runs upstairs and he's crying. And his dad goes and follows him and talks to him about, you know, the importance of Christmas and family. And it seems to have touched Max in the way of, like, getting in touch with the Christmas spirit again and not being upset and not losing the Christmas spirit. Just when we think that Max has had a change of heart, you know, getting back into the Christmas spirit, he gets angry again and he crumbles up and rips up his letter and then puts it outside into the wind. Well, the wind picks up and it takes his letter straight to Krampus. This is what invites Krampus to town. Santa is not coming to town, but Krampus sure is. Krampus, when he comes, he brings his little evil snowman and his evil little helpers, which are like his elves, which are like something like, I feel like, goblins. He brings the evil gingerbread men, which were super cute, though. Like, they're badass little gingerbread men. Did you guys know that two of the gingerbread in Krampus were actually voiced by Seth Green and Justin Roiland? Now, Seth Green is the creator of Robot Chicken, which is a show that I love to watch, as demented as it is. And Justin Roiland is, of course, the creator or one of the creators of Rick and Morty, along with Dan Harmon. Justin Roiland is also the voice of Rick and Morty. So the moral of the story with Krampus is, I believe, anyway, in my opinion, was that, you know, make sure that you appreciate your family before they are taken away by Krampus and put into a snow globe for all eternity, never to be let out again. How in the world did Krampus fit his big ass self in somebody's chimney? Like, that fool is huge. Like, he had, like, these big-ass antlers on the side of his head. Seriously, fam, like, how the hell did you get down somebody's chimney? But, I mean, I've been thinking, how the hell did Santa Claus get his big ol' behind down somebody's chimney? Christmas magic, that's how they get down the chimney. Make sure you believe in the Christmas spirit, guys, because we all know what happens when you don't believe in the Christmas spirit. That's gonna be Krampus on your ass on Christmas. Krampus has an actual holiday and it is celebrated on December 5th every year, and it's called Krampuslauf. It is a German holiday. Krampus comes from a German folklore. In the German folklore, it is said that Krampus, in the early days of December, is looking for bad girls and boys to punish. The most unruly, Krampus takes them to the underworld. So Krampus is the shadow of Saint Nicholas. He's like mean and not nice and will kidnap your ass in a bag in a second, you know, versus Santa Claus, who will give you toys from his bag that probably won't kill you. I remember going to Halloween Horror Nights and Hollywood, Universal Studios Hollywood, and they had the Krampus maze there that Halloween. That was pretty cool. They had some pretty great mazes that year. I think The Exorcist was one of the mazes that year. I remember going into the Krampus maze and, like, where the gingerbread part of it, it smelled like gingerbread cookies. Oh, that was awesome. Like, I love when they bring, like, actual, like, smells, like what the movie would actually smell like. But yeah, I loved smelling the gingerbread cookies in the Krampus maze. That was one of my favorite parts. Of course, it's cookies, of course.
You're about to tune in to Hot Horror.
Our first topic in Hot Horror today is gonna be Ghostbusters Afterlife. Oh yes, ladies and gents, our childhood is coming back to theaters pretty damn soon in 2020. Pretty cool. Well, who's going to be starring in it? Finn Wolfhard, for starters. That is Mike from Stranger Things, Eleven's boyfriend. McKenna Grace is also starring in this film. You guys might remember her from Annabelle Comes Home. She played the little girl, Judy Warren. So that's pretty cool, because that movie was pretty decent. Paul Rudd, Mr. Ant-Man himself, is going to be starring in it. And from our Ghostbusters, Mr. Bill Murray is going to be coming back. Hell yeah. Ernie Hudson is coming back. And Dan Aykroyd is also coming back. Sigourney Weaver is coming back. So looks like in this small sleepy town, there's some really interesting supernatural creepy things going around. Sounds like Stranger Things already, but it is Ghostbusters actually. Looks like Finn Wolfhard is bringing his sarcasm to the table, which is very nice to see. He's hilarious in It Chapter 1 and 2 films. With his sarcasm. Looks like the Proton Pack makes a cameo to the big screen as well, so that's going to be pretty exciting. Phoebe ends up finding and stumbling upon the old Ghostbusters headquarters. How this movie is going to pay tribute to Dr. Egon's character by being the grandfather of Phoebe and Trevor, which is McKenna's and Finn Wolfhard's characters. A few cool cameos that are in the Ghostbusters Afterlife. Slimer. Slimer makes an appearance in the film, so that's pretty cool. I'm glad that they're going to be bringing Slimer back, and it looks like they're not going to make it too cornball looking, so that's pretty cool. It looks like the Ghostbusters car is also back to the film. It has its gunner seat as well. And also, the lovely and very creepy terror dogs make it to the film. So that's pretty cool. So the film is going to be directed by Jason Reitman. He is the director of Juno. So this looks like it's going to be promising, because Juno was a pretty classic film. Now getting into our second topic of the hot horror, Black Christmas. Okay, so there's some wins and there's some loses. Black Christmas film is a remake, and there's been two remakes so far of Black Christmas. December 13th was the release date of Black Christmas. It's really cool that the women are taking over this in this Black Christmas film and kicking ass. It's like, hell yes, this is what I want to see. I see it in wrestling and I see it in this. And I'm like, yes, this is what I want to see, ladies and gentlemen. So in the trailer, there's a female victim that already gets got because she walked back to her home by herself. The way she dies is irritating, right? Bad guy gets an icicle. And you happen to slip and trip and fall like every other female that has pretty much died in a film. Oh my gosh, I'm gonna die now because I've fallen and I can't get up. I think that's a setup to something better in the film, because as you watch the trailer, it seems to get gradually better. Like, these women aren't taking no shit. And they are ripping these rules to shreds, right? They're kicking in the front door of these rules and breaking them right in, right? Like, fuck that. We're gonna change this, and this is not going down no more. But the thing is that females are kicking ass and fighting back. They're not gonna just slip and fall and, oh my god, like, now I can't get up. Oh, too bad. Like, now I'm gonna die. Like, you know, it's like, it's on some, oh, I slipped and fell, and yeah, motherfucker, I'm back up, and I'm gonna kick your ass, even if I go down swinging. It's about a bunch of sorority sisters who basically get together and kick the shit out of the typical villain's ass. Don't go to their deaths without swinging and at least hitting something, without killing something, at least. So, yes, I definitely want to see this film because it's changing the horror game. And I'm like, fuck yes. We women, we're here to kick ass. Imogen Poots is in the film. She plays Riley. Elise Shannon also plays Chris in the film.
Lily Donahue is also in the film, and she plays the role of Marty.
Brittany O'Grady, who plays Jessie, she is also in the film. Zoe Robbins, who plays Ona, is also starring in the film. Ben Black also stars in the film as Phil McLaughlin.
So Carrie Elwes,
he is also going to be in the Black Christmas film. He is from Princess Bride with his fine, handsome self. Fun fact, I didn't know that Carrie Elwes played one of the characters in Saw. He was actually Dr. Lawrence in the Saw film. The last topic of hot horror is going to be A Christmas Carol. It is a TV miniseries on FX. I really love the story of A Christmas Carol because it takes you into the world of Scrooge, right? Who is bah humbug. He hates Christmas. He hates the holidays. And he was not always like that. And something happened to him in his life along the way where he was like losing the people that he loved and you know, people were turning his back on him and being greedy. And so he became greedy. He started becoming selfish. He started changing. My favorite version of A Christmas Carol, for sure, hands down, is the Disney version. You get taken back into time, into Mr. Scrooge's past through all these different spirits in the Disney animated film. With also, that's pretty much the premise of the human live-action films as well. A Christmas Carol is a traditional film of the season. Definitely make time to watch A Christmas Carol, the FX miniseries. I think it would be worthwhile watching. I really love the poster for the miniseries. It looked really creepy and dark. Joe Alwyn is going to be playing Bob Cratchit. He works for Mr. Scrooge himself. Stephen Graham is going to be in this miniseries as well. He's playing Jacob Marley. Stephen Graham, he was in the movie Snatch. He played Tommy. Guy Pearce is playing Ebenezer Scrooge, and Guy Pearce is pretty cool. He's known for films such as Memento. He played main role, main character, Leonard in Memento. And Vinette Robinson, she's playing Mary Cratchit. There's only 3 episodes. Vinette Robinson definitely is taking no shit in the trailer. And I sign on. Anytime I can see a woman be a badass and she's taking no shit for an answer, oh, I'm with that. I fucks heavy with that. Yes, please. Again and again. She was also in the Sherlock TV series from 2010 to 2014. She was Sergeant Sally Donovan. Andy Serkis is also going to be in this mini TV series. He is the voice of Smeagol. Hell yes. How can you forget that precious little face? Yes, he's going to be one of the ghosts of Christmas past. A Christmas Carol TV miniseries for FX will be released on December 19th. So definitely check that out. Getting into why I named this episode Krampus. On December 3rd, around 12:45, I would say, in the day, Los Angeles time, I found out that I was going to be one of the lucky ones to work on Christmas Day. Oh, yeah. So the reason why this bothered my entire soul is because me and my family, we celebrate Christmas on a huge scale that most people probably don't get to celebrate Christmas. So my family and I take Christmas as an opportunity to dress to the nines. You know, we dress up in our best Christmas attire. Over the years, just growing up, like, my favorite thing is just to see my family enjoy our favorite family holiday and see their smiles on Christmas Day. Celebrating Christmas in my early 30s is just so important, you know, because again, like, everybody's getting older and it's just like, wow, like, you know, how much time do we really have left to celebrate Christmas with my family? Really looked forward to having this Christmas this year because the last two weren't top notch as I would have loved them to be. But some of that is my fault though, because I should have done Christmas in a different way the last two Christmases. So, but this year I was like, okay, I'll make up for that. You know, I'll make this year better, you know. But where I will tell you some of the Christmas cheer comes in is being able to have a job when people do not have a job in the streets, and I know what it's like not to have work. I happen to love my job. I happen to love work, but I still don't want to work on Christmas Day. I'm grateful to have the job that I have because it is a blessing to have the job that I have, and I know that it's only going to get better and better from now, you know, and always.
Ask Stiny Horror. Where there's questions, and we give you answers.
So my question to you guys in this Ask Dimey segment, what Christmas folklore do you guys believe in? You guys can send you guys' questions, even if it has nothing to do with this question, you guys could go ahead and send your questions to blackgirlslovehorror2@gmail.com. So go ahead and submit your questions and even feedback. I'm definitely open to hearing feedback, please, by all means. I would be excited to hear some of the folklore that you guys have, you know, heard of, you know, dealing with Christmas or even not dealing with Christmas.
Horror quote of the day.
Getting into the horror quote of the day. Where there is no imagination, there is no horror. You have to have a great imagination and great enthusiasm to get through this day-to-day life. Otherwise, it's really sucky and really bland. And I cannot live a bland life. I am not here to live a bland life. I am here to razzle, dazzle, and sparkle my ass off because I am naturally gifted to do so. So, and sometimes you just have to accept your gifts. Not everybody's going to fuck with that, and not everybody's going to applaud that or look at it like, oh wow, she thinks she's something special. It's like, well, you know, motherfucker, I am. So, you know, it's like, and so are you. If you would just stop being so bah humbug all the damn time and like look at yourself in the mirror once or twice and accept that person who you're looking back in the mirror and be like, you know what, I fuck with that person. That's the beauty in horror, is that there is so much beauty and imagination in horror. You can literally mold horror into anything, which is why I say like Halloween and horror can be celebrated every single day, because it can. You just have to have the imagination, the right imagination and heart to do so.
Horror word of the day.
So the horror word of the day is ascribe. And the definition of ascribe is to attribute something to a cause. And my sentence that I put ascribe in is, it's pretty much a mixture of a question and a sentence. Is it fair to ascribe Grandma Omi to her family's permanent peril and downfall? Or should we ascribe that same blame on Max for writing the letter in the first place, even though Grandma Omi encouraged him to do so? However, Max's rude, trifling cousins inspired Max to rip up the letter in anger in the first place and threw the letter outside into the wind, which then invited Krampus to Max's town in the first place. Or should we blame all four characters? Should we blame Max and the two cousins and Grandma Omi? Or is it fair just to blame Grandma Omi because she is indeed the one who encouraged Max to write the letter in the first place? So I'm going to go with ascribing Grandma Omi to the downfall of her family. If she would have never encouraged Max to write the letter in the first place, her family would be just fine. Just saying. I wanted to dedicate the second episode for Black Girls Love Horror 2 to someone that I call my favorite human being, Mr. Quincy Jones. Mm-hmm. I wanted to thank him for helping me get back into podcasting and to step up to the mic again. Maybe some point down the line I will express a little bit more of why I stepped off in the mic and away from broadcast for a little bit. But that is another story and another time, another episode maybe. I just wanted to take the time to thank my favorite human being, Mr. Quincy Jones Go, who's been a dear friend of mine for a very long time, almost 12 years. I know it didn't happen as fast as he probably saw it happening, but, you know, I like to take my time on things, and, you know, you can only take on what you feel like you can take on, and at the time, a lot of stuff wasn't in that right place for me to do that yet. So now I feel like definitely it is the perfect time to step back and onto the mic into my comfortable shoes, and remembering how broadcasts felt to me, you know, all those years ago. That was about the time that I got into broadcast. So I was doing broadcast for quite a while, and then I got into journalism a little bit after that. I learned how to podcast, and then I learned how to video edit and how to interview and things like that. So broadcast taught me a lot. So did journalism classes. That's how I first came across Mr. Quincy Jones Go. We had our broadcast class together, and I didn't notice anybody in that classroom like that, because I was always late in that damn class. Sorry. Fashionably late, right? A lot of people didn't give a shit about what they looked like, you know, when they came to class, you know. They just came there to learn. But for me, it was like, I came here to learn and I came here to slay, you know. It was like, oh, I'm a new damage, you know. So I know my ass should have been way more focused on my schooling, but hey, I did get on the dean's list like twice. So, like I said, I came here to learn and I came here to slay. Let me do my thing. I remember coming to class one day that I think I was actually not late for. What a miracle. So we're getting into, you know, conversation about Ocean's 11 and MTV, the MTV Awards, and the teacher is pretty much being like rude and basically like dismissing what I was bringing to the table as far as, you know, conversation goes. And I was staying on topic. Like, I wasn't just like, you know, babbling off something that had nothing to do with what we were talking about. You know, the MTV Awards just happened the night before, and everybody was talking about it because that was the night that Kanye West cut off Taylor Swift, so everybody was talking about it. Taylor, I'm gonna let you finish, but I should have been like, Professor, I'm gonna let you finish, but but yeah, I didn't do all that. The person that did indeed say, Professor, I'm gonna let you finish, but I actually like what she had to say, so let her speak, thanks. It's like that level of swag. I ain't ever seen that shit in my life, son. Like, I was like, oh, first of all, wait, you was in my class this whole time? Secondly, it was like, wait a minute, like, who is you over there? That was like super sweet, and to this day I will always remember that. Yeah, he definitely came up on his swag in that class to defend me. It's like when he stood up for me in that moment, it was like a light like shined on him. Like, literally time paused and it was like, thanks to Mr. Quincy Jones for getting me back on to the broadcast saddle and saddle up and make some cool shit happen. But yeah, it was my favorite human being who
decided to buy me a handy recorder for my birthday. He also got me a tripod stand to go with it. He's always been so very thoughtful, and he just, you know, like I said, deserves the credit where it's due. And of course, I'm definitely there to be the one to give it to him. He is, like I said, a very inspirational human being and a very, very hardworking, driven man. Shout out to him. And make sure you guys tune in. It is on iTunes. It's on Spotify, SoundCloud. Quincy Jones Show podcast is really good for people who are beginning to be wrestling fans and wrestling fans all their lives. Shout out to the Quincy Jones Show and his podcast. It's go time. And as he likes to say, I'm gonna do it. Oh, I'm gonna do it, Quincy. If you listen in, I'm gonna do it. You ready? 1, 2, 3. I'm about to punch in. God bless that young man. Cheers to him. He's gonna only go up to the top and infinity. I hope that you guys enjoy your family and enjoy your holiday. I hope you guys get to wrap up presents and give them to your amazing family members or your amazing loved ones. And hell, if you don't have family, give them to your damn self because you deserve it. More episodes definitely coming soon, and I will definitely put in the description of where you guys can follow the podcast. So far, Black Girls Love Horror 2 podcast episodes can be listened to on Podbean, SoundCloud, and CastBox. You can also listen to the Quincy Jones Show on CastBox as well. Love y'all. Thanks for tuning in and thanks for supporting. I really appreciate you guys' support and love. You guys are awesome. So thank you. Much love always. And till next time, toodles.
You know, this is after all.